Welcome to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast, the most listened to Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. Now, here are your hosts, Randy and Tom.
Hey guys, Randy again. Let me tell you guys about Sinbad Sports. Sinbad Sports is the number one sports memorabilia company in South Florida and the number one place to go get your Miami Dolphins memorabilia, your Miami Marlins, your Miami Heat, your Hurricanes, your Florida State Seminole, pretty much any type of memorabilia. Sinbad Sports has had the likes of Rashad Jones, Cam Wake, Jarvis Landry, and more in autograph signings within just the past year alone. So when in South Florida area, visit Sinbad Sports at 2164 South University Drive, Davie, Florida. Tell them DolphinsTalk.com sent you. Fins up, guys.
DolphinsTalk.com podcast. This is Tom Earnesty with a very special guest on the other line. I have the quarterback of the Wildcat, Ronnie Brown, on the other line. Ronnie, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I'm doing great. Thank you for joining us, obviously. We got a lot to get into, but I got to start off. First things first, the 2005 draft. You're coming out of Auburn with a dual-headed monster at running back with Cadillac Williams and yourself. Did you have any idea that the Dolphins were really thinking to grab you at the second pick, even though you're splitting carries in college?
None at all. I didn't have the slightest inkling. I was nervous. I got invited to the draft, and I really didn't want to go because I didn't want to be the one in the green room and, you know, being left in there. And, you know, my agent, we talked. He thought it was a good idea, so we ended up talking about it and made the decision to go. And, you know, when I got that call, it was surprising.
It had to be. I mean, you know, Cadillac Williams was highly touted coming out of college, and they ranked him higher than you, but he had a lot of miles on the tire, so to speak. What did the Dolphins see in you, and what did they tell you after they made that selection?
You know, I don't know. I can't answer that question, but just in terms of, you know, when Nick Saban was the coach, just being familiar, obviously he was at LSU, and so we had played against him a few times. So, you know, I think there was some familiarity there. And I'm guessing that there was something that he liked when we, you know, went against those guys that he saw that he liked, or some qualities that he liked, you know, about my game, which is, you know, great. And I appreciate that.
Absolutely. And being a rookie in the NFL is definitely tough. And obviously being the second pick in the draft is even tougher. What do you remember about your rookie season on the Miami Dolphins, first year coach Nick Saban? What were some of the highlights and struggles that you remember in that season?
I think just, you know, like you said, it is tough. And to get in that situation, it's always great to have good guys around you. Unfortunately for me, I went to a situation where they had a couple veteran guys that were obviously top of the line, and Jason Taylor, Zach Thomas, and Junior Seau. So, you know, that transition for me, those guys made it easier, you know, in terms of making that transition. So, I think they kind of took me under their wing, you know, and helped me make that transition and helped me become comfortable. And then, you know, to have a guy like Ricky Williams to share the backfield with, someone that I watched and I admired his game, and to be able to share the backfield with a guy like that, you know, it was a familiar situation for me because coming from Auburn, like you said, I had already been in that, you know, type of system with two guys, and it was Carnell and Cadillac myself. And so, you know, it was just fitting. All the things made sense, and it was an easier transition for me than, you know, maybe some others.
What was Nick Saban like as a coach? And were you surprised when Nick Saban left I mean, this is a topic of discussion that Dolphins fans, including myself, still talk to this day, and kind of our hatred for Nick Saban and how he abruptly left the team and left us in a complete bind after the 06 season when he said he was staying and then he left. What was the reaction in the locker room when that decision was made that he was going to Alabama to be the head coach?
Well, a lot of guys were upset, you know, and rightfully so, you know, being in that situation when you hear your coach say that he's not leaving, you know, and then to leave, you know, that's kind of tough to deal with. But, you know, I think at the end of the day, from a professional standpoint, I think we all realize about opportunities. And the older that I've gotten, you know, I realized that, or as I got in the league, that it was a business. And, you know, I think he had to make a decision what was best for him and his family. So, you know, understanding that, you know, now it's a little easier to understand. But at the time, you know, being in the situation, the heat of the moment, you don't take it as lightly as you did back then.
Right. Right. So, I mean, we still got some hatred for that guy. But either way, I mean, he's been very successful in Alabama and obviously a school you root against being from Auburn. What was that rivalry like in college between Alabama and Auburn? How was the atmosphere on Saturday nights when those games kicked off?
It was great. You know, I kind of underestimated it, being a kid from Georgia, not really understanding the magnitude of the game. So when I signed to go to Auburn, I didn't understand, you know, what came with that in terms of the Auburn and Alabama game. So my first Iron Bowl was surprising. You know, the atmosphere, the fans, just that whole situation and how the state is involved in the game, you know, in terms of either one or the other, you're either Auburn fan or you're Alabama fan. There's no in-between. So they made me understand it fairly quickly, and I understood, you know, what it meant to be successful in that game.
Excellent. I don't want to dive in too much on the 07 season for obvious reasons. It was a very long year. Cam Cameron took over the team, high expectations because of his offensive. He was an offensive guru when he came to Miami. He did one thing that kind of shocked a lot of people. He had you returning kicks and being the starting running back on the team. Did you like returning kickoffs and being on that unit as well as being a starter at running back?
Well, I mean, it was different. It was something that I had never done before. But at the same time, you know, I understood, you know, what was going on in terms of, you know, just trying to get the best out of me. And, you know, that was maybe his way of trying to do it. You know, it was different. I never played special teams before. But just to see, you know, doing that, and a lot of guys didn't understand it. But I just kind of took it as a challenge, and that was my approach to it. And, you know, it worked out. Unfortunately, I don't know if, you know, my body got fatigued or what, but, you know, I ended up sustaining the injury that season. But at the beginning of the season, you know, the opportunities that I had on the offensive side in terms of catching the ball out of the backfield, being involved a lot in the running game, I think that was, I could say that was my best season that I had started off until the injury. Unfortunately, you know, we were in a situation where we were, 0-6 at the time. So,
Were you at the stadium when the team got their first win against Baltimore?
I was not. I was rehabbing, and you know, I had torn my ACL, so I was home and I was watching the game. And I remember it like yesterday. Greg Camarillo caught the pass. He took off running, and when he scored, I'm like, go, go, go. And then he scores. I see all the guys running on the field. And, you know, I almost jumped up out of my seat with a bad leg. So
so in that same season, you do go down with the ACL tear, but a familiar name returned to the team. Ricky Williams came back, albeit it was a very short time that he came back. He got hurt in the Steelers game. But what were your thoughts going into the 2008 season about Ricky Williams, his work ethic, and the kind of person he was?
I repeat that. I hear you.
So Ricky Williams came back after the, you know, he was back abruptly in the 2007 season, got injured against the Steelers in that slop fest of a Monday Night Football game. And going into the 2008 season, into training camp, what were your thoughts on Ricky Williams as he came back from being fully retired and obviously rehabbing an injury? What was that like sharing the backfield with him in the summer before we get into the actual season?
You know what? I'm big on relationships. So, you know, the bond that Ricky and I, you know, formed in the running back room and the respect that I had for him, you know, not only as a football player because, you know, the success that he had, but just on top of that, you know, the way that he treated me and the way we got along, you know, my respect for him was very high. So, you know, I had a very big appreciation for Ricky. And, you know, just being able to be a teammate and learn and feed off of him, you know, it was great. The way that he works is second to none, you know, and then cerebrally, you know, in terms of his understanding of the game and the way that he approaches it. You know, so I was able to learn, you know, a lot from him. And we had a great relationship. So it was a competitive relationship. Obviously, you had to go out and compete because you knew Ricky was going to work hard. So I had to bring my A game every day. And just knowing that, man, like our relationship, you know, it blossomed. It, you know, it was great. And, you know, Ricky ended up being, you know, in my wedding. So, you know, he was one of my best men. Awesome. So that just says a lot about, you know, the type of person that I thought that he was or Excellent. That I think he is.
So now we get into the 2008 season. Coming off a 1-15 season, Bill Parcells is in. He's the football czar of the team. Tony Sperano is the new head coach. Whole new staff, pretty much a whole new team. You guys lose the first two games of the regular season to the Jets and the Arizona Cardinals. But then you go into the confounds of New England. In week 3, what was it like leading up to that game, and when did you guys realize that this Wildcat was going to get introduced?
You know what? We had put it in a few weeks, and, you know, it wasn't going so well at practice. Our defensive guys were on top of it. It didn't work out so well. But, you know, like you said, after we lost the first two games, going into New England, you know, you look at it like, you know, these are the guys that everyone looks at. You know, what do you have to lose in terms of, you know, let's pull out all the stops or whatever that we need to do to try to get a win because we're sitting here with 0-2, like you said. So going up there, I had no idea that we were going to pull it out that week. I don't think a lot of people did, and it is not like we game planned it. It was something that, you know, we had in the game plan or, you know, in the package for a while. So it wasn't like we just made it up for New England. So going into that week, we're in the huddle, and we get the nod for the play. So in my mind now, I'm like, well, I just don't want to mess it up because, you know, we get opportunity to do it. I've never played quarterback before. So to get this opportunity on this platform, you know, it's going to be big, and it'd be bad I missed the snap or, you know, we fumble or something on the play. So, you know, we went out to the line of scrimmage. I heard New England's defense, they were making all kind of checks, shifts and all these type things. And I was like, we may have a play because these guys can't line up and they've never seen it. So when we hiked the ball, it was a successful play. And then we just kind of rolled with it. And it was, you know, it was surprising to be in the moment. You know, and I don't think we really understood it because, like I said, we was in the moment, and it was just a play for us. But, you know, the success that it had and the way that it caught fire around the league, you know, that was surprising.
It was surprising for a lot of reasons. The biggest one is this was run in college in Arkansas. David Lee, who actually joined the Dolphins coaching staff, was he – intricate in really getting this offense kind of tailored to the Wildcat after it became successful in New England?
Well, he was. You know, he was a big part of Arkansas and, you know, what those guys were able to do with McFadden and you know, those guys down there. And, you know, I think it was just a good situation for us because we had Ricky and myself along with Patrick Cobbs and, you know, Lusaka Polite. Then we had I can't think of his name, Lex Hilliard. So we had a group of guys, and we all believed in each other. And, you know, we were all team-first guys. So it just made sense when he put it in that it flowed so easily. And, you know, but like you said, the surprising part of it was how it, you know, caught fire around the NFL. You know, in college you'll see, you know, trends and things. But to catch, you know, fire on that level was, you know, something that was unimaginable.
It was one of the best seasons I ever watched. Every time you lined up in the backfield for the Wildcat, I was expecting you to throw. I expected you to run, hand it off to Ricky Williams. I mean, the offense was so dynamic. Do you wish you had the opportunity to throw the ball more out of that Wildcat system?
Well, I think it would have helped a little bit. You know, I don't know how much, but, you know, given the fact that I never played quarterback, and it's not like I was a quarterback in college. I didn't have a lot of, you know, passes or completions in college. You know, I understood that, you know, you don't want to have me out there, you know, trying to, you know, read the secondary and do all these things and make checks. So, you know, keep it fairly vanilla. But at the same time, you know, I wish I had an opportunity to try to keep the defense more honest, because when we get to the playoffs, facing Baltimore Ravens, you know, you want to make sure that you dot all your I's and cross all your T's, because they're going to be well prepared. And then you got guys like Ray Lewis, and, you know, you got a secondary guy like Ed Reed. You know, those guys are going to make a difference. So, you know, you want to try to keep them off balance as much as possible.
Absolutely. So you're now retired from the NFL. What have you been up to since retirement?
You know, I guess fortunately, you know, being married, I got two small kids. I have a 4-year-old son, an 18-month-old daughter. That's an adventure. It's exciting, but it presents a different challenge every day, which is good, and I'm up for it. And then outside of that, you know, I've been doing this last season. I did some sideline radio down at Auburn. I enjoyed doing that. I had a good time with it, being back at Auburn, and, you know, just staying close to the game and, you know, being able to be a part of that. And, you know, outside of that, just looking for opportunities to, you know, do something, because I'm not a homebody. I don't really like sitting at home, you know, and the retirement thing, a little overrated. You know, it's great. It's a blessing to be in the situation to be 35 years old and have that option. But, you know, idle minds aren't, you know, always a great thing. I like to be up and out doing things and trying to accomplish stuff and being a part of something. And, you know, I'm so accustomed to that, playing sports all my life, you know, being a part of a team and trying to achieve something, you know, together. That's, you know, my ultimate goal, whether it's a business venture or, you know, just getting involved in something.
I also heard you're an avid golfer.
I am. I have the bug. You know, I started playing when I retired, and, you know, luckily I've had a chance to go to a few events, and, you know, it's definitely different than anything I've ever done. It's a mental game. It doesn't matter how physically strong or, you know, big you are. You know, it's a humbling sport, but I love it. It's a different challenge, and, you know, anytime I get an opportunity or a chance to be out there, I'm out there.
Awesome. Well, I'm glad you're enjoying retirement, but before we finish up, let's talk about the current Miami Dolphins. Let's get your thoughts on Jay Ajayi. What do you think of him as a player? Obviously, he sat home from Seattle. His attitude wasn't there at the beginning of the season, and he blossomed into a 1,200-yard running back. What were your thoughts on Ajayi in the 2016 season?
Well, I mean, first and foremost, I like his style, you know, and his approach to the game. And like you said, you know, from the beginning when he sat home from Seattle, you know, mentally, football, professionally football, you know, at that matter, it's not something you can just go through the motions and do, because it's so time demanding, physically demanding, that if your mind and your heart's not in it, it's going to be tough for you to be successful in it. And, you know, the way that, you know, Jay has, you know, overcome that obstacle and approached the game, and, you know, to see him having fun, you know, I think that's a big thing for him. He really appreciates the game, but he loves doing it. And you can see that when he runs, and, you know, obviously the way that he runs, you'd have to see that, you know, he loves the game. But, you know, it's just great. You know, I think they're building something down there. The expectations are high, just listening to the interviews, you know, during the off season, you know, with Landry, and the expectation of them, you know, wanting to beat New England twice this season. You know, I think that's big. So it's great to see them going in that direction, and the coaching staff, and, you know, everyone has those hopes, and, you know, I think they feel like it's an attainable goal.
I think it is, and this season is definitely going to be telling. You know, going back to 2008, you guys turn around from a 1-15 to an 11-5 team. This team went from 6-10 to 10-6. So hopefully the trend continues to go upward for the team this year. Are you still close with the team, and do you get a chance to go to some games throughout the season?
You know what? I'm in the process of working on it. I haven't had an opportunity, and like I was saying, you know, doing the radio down in Auburn, a lot of weekends I'm away. But I would definitely love to. I was fortunate enough a couple weeks ago, they had the Dan Marino thing over in the Bahamas with some of the old alumni. And I had a blast, you know, just talking the old stories, listening to those guys, you know, talk about just having that locker room feel. And, you know, that was great. So, you know, I look forward to getting more involved and getting back down as much as I can. And, you know, when those guys call me, you know, I'm definitely going to try to make myself available.
Excellent. Well, Ronnie, I really appreciate your time. Thank you so much for joining us on the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Obviously, Ronnie Brown, are you on social media at all frequently?
I am. I'm on Twitter and Facebook, but mostly Twitter for the most part. And it's at Ronnie23 Brown.
All right. Excellent. Ronnie, I really appreciate it. Hopefully we can reach out to you again if you're not busy. Maybe get your thoughts before the season starts. And
okay, sounds good. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Ronnie. I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.